So glad you could join us on this first official day back to school. I'm Carla Collins, your host, and welcoming to the show a very dear friend of mine who is all about the wellness, and I feel like she's a good poster child for it because she's one of the most beautiful women I know, inside and out. Please welcome Sari Dennis, join us on the phone from Las Vegas, Nevada. Originally Canadian, and decided that she would go and become a nutritionist, a wellness counselor. She is a certified health and wellness counselor, in fact, and she's going to guide us and tell us about superfoods. And I have so many questions, and I've wanted her on the show since the show started. How are you doing, Sari?
Hi, Carla. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Now, I got to tell you, like, if we're having a heat wave here in Los Angeles, and I live by the beach, what's it like in Vegas, roughly the surface of the sun?
It is, but it's beautiful, and after enduring so many cold winters in Canada, you will never hear me complain about the heat here.
I like the attitude, sister. I like the attitude. That's wonderful, I know. But that's if you take that away from Canadians, then we don't have a lot to talk about. We need to talk about weather. We need to talk about it.
It's
now,
true.
I was very interested to read about a bit about your personal backstory, because you haven't always been in the nutrition game. This is something fairly new. I remember going out for a drink with you, a nutritionist drink, of course. It was champagne, a couple of years ago, and you were studying, and you were about to start and launch this new venture.
Yes.
So tell me, because now that I hear a bit about some of your personal health struggles, I understand. So tell me what led you into doing your own personal research on wellness and nutrition.
Well, I think it's been a journey like anything else. I was always struggling since a child with digestive issues and spastic colon and constipation, and I was always stuck in there. Without realizing that that's really not the way people are supposed to live. It was just kind of a state that I had become accustomed to and thought that that's, you know, that was the norm and that's how people led their lives. And if they didn't go to the bathroom for 4 or 5 days, that was okay. So that led to a whole other plethora of complications for me. But I decided that when I started hearing about people and their wellness and their regularity, I realized that something really was not right inside me and decided that I would do my own research to figure out what could be done. And that was really the start of my journey. And I think it was really impacted when both of my parents received a cancer diagnosis, and I kind of hit the wall and said, you know, there's got to be something about getting healthy and trying to prevent myself from getting cancer and cleaning up and cleaning out my system. And that really began the journey for me. And I was fortunate enough to find an amazing school where I received an incredible education and learned about 100 different dietary theories, which really led me to believe that, you know, everybody is unique, everybody's body is unique. And so what I was struggling with, maybe somebody else wasn't. So what worked for me maybe didn't work for everybody, and it really opened my eyes to the fact that everybody has things that they are dealing with nutritionally, dealing with in their health, and that there were ways that we could, you know, prevent illness and get healthy and happy and move our systems, and it's been a wonderful experience so far.
I love that the education was enabled you to make a preemptive strike. Now, what school did you go to become certified?
I studied at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. It's in New York City, and it was a year-long course. And because I live in Las Vegas, it's an amazing, amazing educational tool, and they offer distance learning programs. And if anybody would like to talk to me about this, you know, one-to-one, I am always happy to sing its praises and encourage you to look into it, whether you want to go into health and nutrition and wellness as a career or just really want to learn more about your own health and wellness. It's just a great, great gateway into that.
And by the way, you can find out more about Sari on mywellnesscounts.com. Now, one of my first questions for you, were you always vegan, or is this something that you, was this a new way of eating that you decided upon after getting this kind of knowledge from the school and learning about your own body and some of the challenges you were facing?
Yes, very much so. I mean, I grew up like most of us did of my generation. I'll be 50 this year. So for most of my life, I was a major carnivore. I ate a lot of meat and drank a lot of dairy. And, you know, I believe that eliminating those things from my body has really helped to contribute to the way I feel today. So it's, I guess I've been vegan for about 5 years now. And I will never go back.
Once you go vegan, you never go back. Once you go vegan, you never go back.
That's right.
Now, I do have some questions because we hear this term. I mean, superheroes were very popular on the big screen this summer, and you hear superfood all the time. And, for example, like the really trendy one right now, white chia seeds. I'm putting those in my morning shake. I dump everything that I can't stand the taste of, by the way, into my morning shake. Flaxseed, bee pollen. Yeah, that because then it's delicious and I don't know it's there. But what makes a superfood? What are the qualifications?
Well, it's a great question, and you know, it is true that some people may have just been hearing about it. They have been around for centuries. We are just catching up to what ancient cultures have known about it for a very long time. In North America, we are just learning about some of these things. I mean, chia seeds, you know, you mentioned are fabulous. They can sustain an Aztec warrior for an entire day. If they begin their day with, you know, incorporating chia seeds, it will last them an entire day. High levels of protein, fiber, omega-3s, the effects that are really energizing, and they detoxify, and they're very heart healthy. So that's just one category of superfood. There's tons and tons of seeds that are out there, and herbs and seaweeds and greens. It's so far-ranging, but I think, you know, it's really about finding and eating the most nutritionally beneficial foods available that, you know, in our world today, I think that most people are very calorie-centered. And
right.
I think that if we had a more nutrient-centered mentality, we would all be eating more superfoods. It's all about the nutrient content.
Now, I found out about chia seeds because I dated an Aztec warrior, which a lot of people don't.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was brief. I was engaged to him. I've been engaged so many times. But now, when we're talking about these, sometimes I know I lose some of my listeners. By the way, you're listening to Speakeasy. I'm talking to Sari Dennis, who is a certified health and nutritionist counselor on Canada Talks Channel 167, Sirius XM Radio. The thing is that also there are things that people know of, like avocados are also considered a superfood or really nutritious. It's not just seeds and flax seeds and seaweed that people start to tune out or la-la-la or, you know, earmuffs because they don't want to hear all this healthiness. But there are, like, what are some foods that are everybody probably has hanging around or has great access to?
I will tell you the top of my list, and I could talk about this for the next hour, but I won't. I would say that greens. Greens, to me, are the most incredible, most easily accessible, and most affordable superfood they're out there because they have such immense nutritional value. So, you know, dark, raw, leafy greens are full of easily digestible proteins and fibers and enzymes and minerals and vitamins and chlorophyll. And we all know that, you know, chlorophyll is what gives plants their green color, right? It allows them to grow and thrive and produce fruits and vegetables. Well, when that chlorophyll goes into our body, it has a similar effect. And it also has an alkalizing effect on our blood, and it neutralizes the acids that exist in our system. So the effect of chlorophyll is like a mini blood transfusion. It's a health tonic. And dark leafy greens are also known as the lungs of the planet. And they're known as the lungs of the planet because they do in nature what our bodies do for us, but in the opposite way. So where we breathe in oxygen and release carbon dioxide, plants breathe in carbon dioxide and they release oxygen. So when we eat these plants, this oxygen is released directly into our bodies, into our cells, and into our blood. And oxygen is exactly what our cells need to inhibit disease and prevent cancer cells from igniting. So there's so many great greens. There's arugula, beet greens, bok choy, chard, cilantro, collard greens, mustard greens, parsley, wheatgrass, spinach. It's just so much.
Well,
so
what
much
about
abundance?
What about kale? Because it's so trendy. Like here in Los Angeles, kale is the new cocaine. I mean, at some point in that party, you're going to be pressured into trying some kale, is what I'm saying.
I actually have a T-shirt that says kale is the new beef. Because it is. It is just, it is a huge superfood. You can do everything with it. And a lot of people find kale is very hard to chew and hard to digest. I recommend just cutting it up very small. If you're new to kale and you're finding it very difficult and you are an iceberg salad person, You know, it's all about transitioning. It's all about making small changes. So have your iceberg salad, maybe cut down on the amount, and take a bunch of kale and julienne it, or chop it up very, very small and add it in. And little by little, you will start to notice the positive effects and the benefits that kale is having on your blood and on your energy and on your clarity. And little by little, you can start to shift the balance so that most of your salad is now kale and less of it is the iceberg.
And you could also massage your kale. Yes, you can. I mean, I know my husband massages the kale in various oils, which sounds like a euphemism and something kinky, but it's not. It's actually something you can do to make it a little bit softer. Now, because I don't have too much time, I want to kind of combine a bunch of questions and talk about it. It's back to school for many people and for many parents.
Right.
And, you know, I just think the nutrition of the little peanuts is so important.
Mm-hmm.
But the challenge, and not with just kids, but also adults, is a lot of people think the stuff that we've been talking about tastes like crap. And they've been complained about that. Michelle Obama tried to implement this in the schools and said, you know, they better choices in the cafeteria. And then the Kentucky school children said, no, we don't like brown bread, which I was like, hashtag first world problems. But also, you know, if you leave it up to kids, they would have possum flavored Pop-Tarts. So, how do you make this all palatable? And what can parents do and put in the lunches that their children will actually eat, Sari?
You know, it's so sad when I hear you say that most kids say that, you know, things taste bad. I think the problem is that our tongues and our taste and our senses have become so numb to all of the sugars and the salts that have gone into these processed foods that people now recognize as food, but it's not really food. It's junk and it's processed. And so having a tomato taste like nothing to most people now, because we are so desensitized to the beautiful flavor that is in a simple
right.
piece of fruit or vegetable. So it's very sad, but there are certainly things that we can do. And again, small changes, simple changes make a big difference. If somebody doesn't like whole wheat bread, you know, I love wraps personally, and
mm-hmm.
it's great to substitute even if you don't like tortillas. Take a big piece of chard or a big piece of collard greens or a long romaine leaf and build all your things on that. So the key is really to try to re-educate our tastes and our tongues to what food is supposed to taste like. And there are wonderful ways, you know, if you want your kids eating apples, pack some almond butter with it so that they can have the apple and have the almond butter, and it's a great combination. There's so many things that can be done, and actually I've got a wonderful list of suggestions. If anybody would like it from me, they can, you know, write me on my Gmail account, saridennis@gmail.com, and I am happy to send out some information along those lines.
Thank you so much, Sari.
Yes.
I love what you're doing. I get your newsletter, My Wellness Counts, whenever it's out, and it always inspires me.
Oh,
and I will say
you.
there is hope, too, because when you do start shifting your diet, your taste buds come back to life, too.
They do.
Like Frampton comes alive again. They will when you get off the sugars, you will start to taste that tomato. So there is hope. And I thank you so much for being on Speakeasy with us today and sharing all that. And we finally know what superfoods are because, you know, for many people, that was a big mystery.
Well, thank you, Carla. I appreciate you inviting me to be on. It was a real pleasure.
And you're just a gorgeous lady inside and out, and that should be, you know, inspiring enough for people. So thank you for telling us your story.
Thank you.
And helping us to eat right going back to school. Sari Dennis, more information available at mywellnesscounts.com.